Now we move on to part C, where we're going to talk about Robert's work, which is based on Parker's discovery of a money flow T. And this section consists of two charts. The first one is VUSTX versus TLT. VUSTX is a is one of the long-term treasury bond funds that we use in the best bond fund. We don't own this because the because in the best bond fund you always have the opportunity to look at an alternative, which is the high yield bond fund. And since the market was rising, the VUSTX is vulnerable to basically inflation concerns, and so you should be in the on the other fund. But once you start into a bear market condition, then the question is, then the VUSTX becomes more attractive at some point. And the money flow index that, or T concept that Parker, which is in the second chart here, you need to have an entity, a bond fund, that actually trades during the day. And they don't happen to have any, the VUSTX is one of those that you buy it from the buy it from Vanguard at 4 o'clock at the close, and so there's no data. Robert decided that he'd look around for an exchange traded fund, which is traded during the day, and he looked at the various ones and came to the conclusion that TLT, which is a pretty good alternative. You know, it's a government long-term government bond fund. I think it's Barclays fund. Might be a suitable alternative. And so what he did is he plotted the two funds, where the bold red line is the VUSTX and TLT is the faint line before them. And you can see that they don't exactly track each other, but the wiggles all look pretty much the same. So the money flow should come out about right. And so I asked Parker about that, and he said that after checking, TLT seems a good compromise for VUSTX. Another ETF tracks VU2X Wiggles better, TLO. But TLT is closed and trades 80 million shares a day. High volume is preferable for money flow Ts. So that was good work by Robert. So now that's the fund that we're going to use. So here's the next chart is the TLT, Barclays 20-year plus Treasury Bond Fund. iShares. And so Robert comes in and he says, okay, so the money flow index T's, what you do is you find out where the peak of the money flow is, which was May 5. It's sort of about the middle of the chart there. That's the lower indicator peaked at May 5th. Okay. And you go back and you find a bottom. So he went back and he found the January 8th bottom, and you measure that time. And then when you extrapolate an equal amount of time to the third purple line, you come up with a projected top date, which is what's supposed to happen. However, when Parker devised this concept, the examples that he used led him to believe that you would have only taken the second bottom. In other words, you wouldn't get a very big money flow T out of it. So what Robert has found out is that we're not really sure what the rules are. And this is a very similar problem to what you have in advanced decline T's. What do you do with when you got two bottoms? You split the bottoms. You take one bottom or the other bottom. What happens? And the answer to that one is that we don't know because we haven't got enough examples. The particular way that you would try to approach the bonds ambiguity here is to track this back in history. However, the exchange-traded funds have a very short history. In other words, VUSTX has been around for over 20 years, so you can get its history. But the Barclays 20-year plus Treasury bond fund hasn't been around for a long time, and you need to have a lot of history in order to get these T's to spread them out and so forth. So we have a slight problem on trying to. So the technique is basically experimental. In part D, I'm going to use the gold funds, and there's a little bit better history there, and we do have two examples, and they're pretty impressive. So I think probably on safer grounds when we talk about that section. In any case, the And the interesting thing about, I call these inline T's because what you're doing is you're not equating a rally phase with an opposite prior decline. You're actually within the flow, finding a midpoint, and then knowing what the midpoint is and where the beginning point is, you can figure out where the end point is going to be. Nevertheless, the fact that TLT's projection does have a peak in the August 20th area is pretty good, and so it's worth pursuing. The other advantage of pursuing the money flow index is it works going downhill in a trend, downhill as well. And you can see, for example, in this case, if you go into the November time period and you look at the money flow index where it goes down to minus 20, there's the opposite to an overbought condition. That's an oversold condition. So there's a tendency to believe that oversold condition where it's just below 20 in the November time period is in fact the halfway point from the decline from August 20th. And Parker has computed that one, and he says, let's see, I have to read his letter here. The inverse TLT money flow should bottom around December 3rd to the 9th. And so that, we have to check this out. We're gonna keep following this now, because now that we're hooked on this stuff, the idea is you're going to have to go to this discovery mode. And it's, the discovery mode is error prone, because you still don't know what the rules are. Although they would seem to be quite unambiguous here, you do know where there's a top, and there is an oversold condition, which is, you know, 80 is overbought and 20 is the reverse. 20 below 20 is an oversold condition. So there are examples of money flow T's that aren't working on the downside do give the bottoms correctly. That was for the S&P 500 going into the. You had a B low and you had a C low in my second chart in part B. That worked out okay. So as far as we know, it appears that the government bond funds will make a low sometime in the 3rd to the 9th of December, and we're just going to track it and see if it's right. And if we can build up some history in this, is a very valuable tool to have because. You like to know where these turning points are. Okay, so that's all I'm going to say about that, except to say that it is a concept that is experimental, and you have to sort of run it through a sanity check to make sure that things might be okay, that the behavior of this decline is looks like it's kind of normally progressing towards the date that you have made a projection for, and if you see something wrong, maybe it's going to turn out to be wrong. But if you get it right, it's very, very, very important, because for the future, nobody else knows how to do this stuff, and it'll be a very powerful tool. Okay, that's it for part C, and then we'll be back. Well, now we're going to go over to the gold, where we have to make a decision on using this technique.